Think of the woman at the well of Sychar as she goes back to Samaria and she says, come, come and see the man who told me everything that I've done. Andrew goes to his brother Peter and says, Peter, listen, come, we found the Messiah. The beloved in the Song of Solomon, when she's asked, what is your beloved more than others? What's her response? He's the fairest of 10,000. He's fairest of 10,000. Truly, this should be the desire of our heart as we're filled with the Lord Jesus, that we're enjoying him so much that we want to share him with others. There's no shame. There's no inhibition. We want to tell of his greatness. In view of his care, in view of his love, in view of his mercy towards us. God is supreme and he cares for us. Not only supreme, but he's preeminent. And not only preeminent, he's transcendent. As the beloved said, he's the fairest of 10,000. There's no one like him. And so as we fill our hearts with the Lord Jesus, this would be a normal response of our heart, that we would respond in this way and want to tell of his glory and of his goodness. And then in verse 34, he goes on, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Yes, we heard it before. The Lord is not teaching here that we need to hate our mother and father. He's not teaching us to hate our brothers and sisters in no way. But what he is saying is that the Lord should be so precious to us that by comparison, the relationship of love between us as brothers and sisters and parents towards children, it's nothing in comparison to that love which we have for the Lord. In fact, that we love him so much that we're even willing to give our life for him. That's what he continues to say. And this shouldn't be a surprise, because in the Great Commission, as we say, the disciples are told, we are told to go out and preach the gospel, baptizing. And what does baptism mean? To be dead to ourselves. To sacrifice all for him. And this can only be done as he fills our heart, and as he fills our heart, that the value of everything else is diminished in comparison to our affections and our value of our precious Lord who gave himself for us. Verse 40. He that receives you receives me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say to you, he shall nowise lose his reward. And so as we are disciples, as we come and as we give the message of the Lord to others, there's blessing. A true disciple is one who gives blessing, who is a blessing to those who are around. That as they receive the disciple and his message, they will receive a reward and the Lord will be honored. And so the Lord gives these instructions to the disciples. He gives these instructions to us. And as we think of these things, we can only say, but how can we fulfill this? Is there not weakness in our own life? Are there not failures? Did the disciples complete these things fully as they should have? We know that they failed. We feel our own weakness and our own failure. But we shouldn't look at that. We've been reminded of the verse and just repeat it again that in 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul says, whether present or absent, I make it my aim to serve the Lord. We have a young sister in our local assembly. She was trying to get into med school and stuff to get into med school. She was an amazing student. We would have a potluck in the meeting and she would come there with her books and she would enjoy the meal. But then after the meal, she would be off in a corner and she would be with her books and she would be studying in her books. You would go to their home for a meal and we would visit together and she would be in her bedroom studying. And then supper was called and she would come out of her bedroom and she would be at the table and we would enjoy our meal together. And then within 5 minutes after the meal was over, she went back to her bedroom again and she was studying. She wanted to get into med school. And she made it her aim. What do you think? When David went against Goliath, how did he go against him? Do you think that David put a stone in his sling and just let it go anywhere? He aimed at Goliath. He had an aim. He wanted God's honor and glory for sure. That really was his aim. But he didn't do it haphazardly. And so it is with us. May we make it our aim. Incidentally, she was accepted to med school. She made it her aim. We want to make it our aim to be pleasing to the Lord, to be pleasing to him for his honor, for his glory. Just want to speak about a few other points. The Lord called his disciples together and instructed them. But this is not the first time. And we go back in Matthew chapter 5 and we just touch some of these verses very, very quickly. There are more than 20 points. And we don't have time to touch all of these points. But we can think of some of these things. Chapter 5 verse 3. Poor in spirit. A true disciple needs to be poor in spirit. What does that mean? One who is not haughty. Not one who is putting himself forward. Not one who is seeking attention. Not one who is looking for himself. But putting the Lord first. One who mourns. The Lord mourned. He mourned over the hardness of the heart of the Pharisees. He mourned over Jerusalem. He wept. He mourned when he was there at the sepulcher of Lazarus. Do we mourn? There are many things for which we should mourn, brothers and sisters. When we look at the world around us, when those in our families, when those around us are going to perdition, do we mourn? As we see the wickedness in the world, the immorality and so many other things, do we mourn? As we see the breakdown of families, even amongst believing families, where there is a breakdown, where there is breakdown in marriage relationships, do we mourn? The Lord wants us to mourn. Meek. Matthew was a good example of that. Matthew, the tax collector. May we be meek. We know that Moses was the meekest man on earth, of course, not in comparison to the Lord, but it was said of him. He was a forceful man. When it was necessary, he stood up for God. But yet, he was a meek man, not looking for himself. When his brother and sister were against him and the Lord struck Miriam, Moses pleads on behalf of his sister. Beautiful. Merciful. Are we merciful? The Lord is. We too should be like him, being merciful. Peacemakers. The Lord again was a peacemaker, made peace with God for us. And are we peacemakers? Are we peacemakers in our homes, in our assemblies? Are we peacemakers? This is something that the Lord is looking for, a characteristic. A feature of one who is a disciple.